Hi, I'm Jonathan Alisea, Assistant Editor for HCP Live. Welcome to Doc Talk. February is Heart Month, a campaign established by the American Heart Association that aims to raise awareness for heart diseases, a nationwide issue that affects all kinds of populations, even children. With lockdown still in place in some shape or form, in-person clinical visits and cardiological monitoring may not be as frequent as they used to be prior to the pandemic. What has come to fill this gap, then, is this rise of telehealth and remote monitoring. Of course, these technologies didn't just appear on the scene and out of nowhere. Even before COVID-19, clinical programs and trials had begun to evaluate the feasibility and usage of technologies that can allow patients and their caretakers to collect pertinent cardiological information outside of the clinical setting. Remote monitoring devices can prove to be beneficial for numerous reasons, including expanding healthcare accessibility, but their obvious limitations mean there is no expectation that this technology class will supersede or overtake in-person visitations anytime soon. They do, however, offer the possibility of enhancing cardiological care and follow-up. In this episode of Doc Talk, I spoke with two cardiologists from Stanford Children's Health, Dr. Sada Tierney and Dr. Scott Sarasnak, about remote monitoring among pediatric populations. Dr. Tierney is a pediatric cardiologist and the director of research in Stanford's Echo Laboratory. Recently, she worked on a study evaluating parental home use of echocardiogram technology in heart transplant patients. Dr. Sarasnak leads Stanford Children's Health tele-EKG monitoring program, where doctors use such technology to monitor children's heart conditions from their homes. I talked to them about the current and future state of cardiological care, remote monitoring, especially as it relates to children, as well as their own work and role in their respective programs. Enjoy. Can you talk to me broadly about telehealth and cardiology, sort of where are we now and what has evolved, especially within this past year in light of the pandemic? We'll just start broadly with that question.
So if we think about it, telemedicine actually has been a resource for a long time, longer time than we are aware of as pediatric cardiologists, but it hasn't gained much traction in our field, short of a few focuses. One of them is home monitoring, which actually has been instituted because we had high mortality for interstage patients. These are patients born with single ventricles who need a series of operations, and the highest mortality is between the first and second operation. So with this in mind, a home monitoring program has been set where the patients or the newborns, infants, are sent home with a scale and a pulse oximeter so that they can report back to their care providers. And that actually has been very successful and has improved mortality rates. Another area has been more for global outreach for countries where there is not a lot of access to subspecialty care. So especially handheld echo devices have been used with remote monitoring from the US or UK to help screen patients with, for example, acute rheumatic fever or heart conditions. And recently, a bit more also with fetal echo. So those areas have been more utilized, but telehealth visits have not been performed frequently, let's say, in the last decade. Scott?
I would say largely from the general pediatric cardiology practice, telehealth is, I think, not used much, especially in our practice, on a day-to-day basis for most of the patients we would see clinically. And I think that has evolved significantly over the past year. I think families have had concerns about venturing out in the midst of a global pandemic. And I think there's been, some concerns about going to hospitals and clinics in the midst of a pandemic. And I think we've been able to reach patients in a way that we couldn't otherwise, and we didn't really do on a consistent basis in the past. And I think we definitely have had an evolution in our practice where many of our patients who we would have seen in person We've been able to convert to telehealth visits where patients can do that from the comfort of their home and still connect with patients in a way that can deliver high quality, key and important care that can help their health overall. And so I think we've seen a significant evolution in that practice over the past year. And as you know, there's not many positives to say about COVID, but I think this is one positive that I think is positive for patients and for us as physicians, that we can sort of deliver at home, you know, quality care in a way that is unique and different. And there have been providers who have done telehealth visits, as Sadaw had mentioned. I think it's come much more in the mainstream and is used much more by most of our providers and probably many providers around the world in the midst of this global pandemic.
It definitely helped providers who had inertia about this because we just had to, right? Overnight, things have changed. Things changed, and we had to adapt and adjust and figure out how to reach out to these patients and provide care. Definitely, especially for our center, the distance is an issue. Most of our patients live far away, and they have to travel far. They have to stay overnight to see their care providers, and they don't have access to subspecialty care locally. So it really, now that we have more telehealth visits and we kind of had to learn how to do them well, I think this will actually be something that will stay on and improve our care.
Yeah, no, it's interesting because I, last month or 2 months ago in 2020, I wrote a feature on telehealth and actually in cardiology. So this is why, yeah, you know, this conversation is so fascinating. It was interesting talking to other doctors about their perspectives on telehealth, where they see it now, sort of the challenges that still remain, especially socioeconomic challenges that play a big role in adopting this technology. And so I wanted to sort of get your perspective on, you know, your thoughts on overcoming these challenges, particularly in like socioeconomic low income communities that may not have easy access to these technologies.
I can kind of guess, answer that in a couple of different ways. One of the positives about this has been in terms of access to care. If you do have internet and you do have the ability to connect, instead of paying gas money to drive 100-150 miles to see a specialist who really knows the intricacies of their field and can provide advanced level care, you can don't have to necessarily take a day off work. You don't have to pull your kid out of school. You know, you don't have to travel 150 miles and pay gas and all those things, pay tolls. So in some ways, it provides more access to care. Now, it does present a challenge in those patients who, using a nice computer right now where we can have that discussion, right? I have excellent Wi-Fi here at Stanford, right? If you don't have sort of those capabilities, it becomes a challenge. If you're working in a busy office setting and you don't have that sort of that privacy that you would get in a doctor's office and you're uncomfortable talking about something in front of other people who maybe you may be working with, I think those are challenges that could present for sort of lower income and other patients. So I think it's in some ways a double-edged sword in the sense that I do think it can provide access in ways that is very positive, but there are challenges on the technology end and some of the, I guess, devices that we're using do present challenges, and you have to be somewhat technologically savvy to use some of these things. And so I think while there are definite pros to the significant transition to telehealth, there still are some challenges to overcome.
I would think the, part of healthcare would be providing the Wi-Fi for these visits, or even sending devices to the patient's homes where they can at least have temporary Wi-Fi for, you know, to conduct these visits. But it's something that I think probably even the government should take seriously, to provide Wi-Fi for better healthcare.
So to sort of shift a bit, you know, to get more specific, Dr. Tiernius, you have a study that looked at the feasibility of parental monitoring of pediatric heart transplant patients by a handheld echocardiogram device. Can you tell me more about that study and the major findings from it and the implications?
Sure. So this has been more of a passion project. So I don't remember, maybe 7 years ago, one of my colleagues here who also runs the advanced care program approached me and said, you know, a lot of our pediatric heart transplant patients live so far away, I know that there are some handheld echo devices coming out. What do you think as an imager? Do you think you could test feasibility of it? And, you know, I said, that's a great idea. Let's see. And we actually got funding to purchase a device. At that time, there was one device available. And then what we set up, it was we asked parents who were in clinic that day, asked them ahead of time whether we could train them in obtaining some focused images on their children, of the heart of their children, and then take the device home and see if they can reproduce the images. So we created a training manual, some videos, and then did hands-on training with the parents. And to our surprise, these parents loved it. They loved that they could actually learn a new skill set, help the care of their kids this way, and I think felt pretty empowered that they could add one more layer to their role. Most of them were able to learn within 35 to 45 minutes those focused images. And then we made it very simple. We asked them to take the images next day because we only had one device and we had to ask them to send them back. And they were able to get the images we asked them. One limitation we had was that at that time, we did not set up having the images sent real time to us. But the device also did have a lot of different technical wiring for that. So at that time, we did not address that. Later on, actually, I also studied this in another patient population, and with a different device where sending the images was possible. So what we were able to do was to have parents take very focused images on their children and send it to us for interpretation. So we never asked the parents to interpret anything, but send us the images. And inspired by the feasibility in two different patient populations by research, now we're trying to actually clinically implement it. We're about to roll it out, and the challenges, and we'll probably come to that, have been more about security, you know, the security that's not research anymore, right? So it has to be hospital level security, and also the billing reimbursement. Those pieces have been the most difficult to navigate through, but we have nevertheless navigated through them, and we are hoping to roll it out as a clinical tool in 2 weeks.
Oh, that's great. That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, Scott has more experience with his program, the tele-EKG program that has been active already.
Yes. And okay. You know, before we get to that, I just wanted to kind of hone in on one finding, Dr. Tierney, in your study that looked at the results, talked about the difference between the qualitative assessment of this versus the quantitative and how one was better than the other. Can you just talk more about that discrepancy and how that factors into like parental use of this and interpretation of these results?
Yeah, actually, that's a great point. So the qualitative assessment is what we do as cardiologists, is we look at the function of the heart and we eyeball it. And with experience, we are able to say, you know, it looks good, or it's mildly depressed, the function of the heart, or moderately depressed. But we always want to also confirm what we think with numbers. So we would always try to calculate the what we call the ejection fraction, so how well the heart is pumping, and give it a number. So that was challenging with these images. What we implemented for the clinical rollout is that these patients actually do these echoes with real-time supervision. So we added another layer of safety and technology where our sonographers actually can see real-time the images. That handheld device has that capacity. Not only can it send it real-time, but also the supervisor can see how the images look like as the parents are getting the images. So we are going to be able to say, hey, go left, go right, tilt anterior to tilt posterior, see if we can get a few more images in this plane, so that we ensure the quality of the echoes before we finalize it. So, and that is the part of the parental echo program where the studies are performed with real-time supervision, and then they're interpreted by the faculty. So that way, we also do not have to always make, you know, keep the skill set of the parents, because there's going to be always someone guiding them through the process. It also would reduce the anxiety if they have any anxiety, because if you were to do this every 6 months or so, they might not even remember how to turn on the machine, right? So it's always good to have that kind of real-time supervision.
That's awesome. And to Dr. Sosnak, you lead Stanford Children's Health Tele-EKG monitoring program. Can you just tell me a little bit more about that and the role of this program?
Sure. So as part of a cardiology evaluation, oftentimes a physician gets a history, physical, but that's a pretty standard part of most cardiac evaluations is an EKG. And an EKG, if you've ever gotten one, is, you know, the tech usually will come in and put 10 different stickers on the arms, the legs, and all across the chest. And it's pretty standard and pretty important part of most cardiac evaluations. And so if you're doing a telehealth visit, it's not really possible if you're not coming here to actually physically do that EKG. So we've partnered with a company who has created a mail out EKG. So basically what they do is the patient will receive a large sticker that replaces all the stickers that go across the chest and a couple of stickers that go on the arm. The family will then download an app and be able to telemetrically connect that sticker reading with your app. And so basically an EKG gets sort of downloaded to an app and then sent in a secure way to us where we can then read the full 12-lead EKG. So the great thing about it is instead of having to come actually into the hospital or into the clinic to get the EKG, we can just mail it to your house. And it's fairly easy to use. You know, we did mention the access to care issue before, and there are some families, if you don't have a smartphone, that's a challenge, but the company will actually send a phone to the family as well. So even if you don't have that capability, they will actually work with you to be able to provide the opportunity to get that EKG. So then when we do that telehealth visit, we can get the history. We still have that limitation of not being able to do that physical exam at this point, but we can look at the EKG and then have a discussion about what further testing could be needed, what we find on the EKG, how that can provide insight into any cardiac diagnosis or anything like that. We also have the opportunity to send long-term monitors via the mail. So the 12-lead EKG is sort of a snapshot in time that provides a great deal of information. But if patients, say, have palpitations or intermittent episodes of an abnormal heartbeat, we can then send them a monitor that they can use for an extended period of time. And oftentimes, these are patch monitors with no wires. So we can do a lot of evaluation remotely, sort of get those tracings, have those tracings come back to us, and be able to look at those and, you know, make cardiac diagnoses and provide some improvement in their health going forward.
Just out of curiosity, what has the patient response to this been like?
Yeah, it's been very positive. I think we have, as part of a quality improvement initiative too, to provide the best care we can, ask families to you know, give us feedback and tell us what was good and bad about the device. And overall, it's been very positive. I think the biggest positives to take away are, number one is the families can do this at home. They don't necessarily have to come into clinic. And if you're seeing me for, say, palpitations, the most important part of that evaluation would be the history, the EKG, and then some extended monitoring. And we can really do most of that now remotely. And so to be able to do this from home, parents don't need to take a day off of work, kids could still go to school, see me at 3 o'clock. That's a really positive thing, I think, for most families. There are some concerns about COVID and coming into clinics and interacting with more people. And I think that has been a very positive thing for many people as well. I think the adaptability to the technology has been very positive too. I think most families have done a pretty good job being able to download the software, hook up the EKG, which is pretty easy to do. And so overall, the feedback has been very positive. And looking at the data that we have in our patients, the average distance from the hospital for our patients who've done the mail-out EKG so far has been 100 miles. So instead of driving 100 miles each way, they've been able to do this via their home, talk to us on the computer, and sort of go from there. So it's the feedback has been very positive, and I think it is something we'll continue going forward.
That's awesome. And to sort of bring this question back out, so either of you can answer, from your perspective, your opinion, what do you see as the future of pediatric cardiological care? Where are we now? Where are we going? Sort of just want to kind of gauge your outlook on this bigger picture.
So I think that this rapid adaptation to technology is going to bring us forward for better care for our patients. We will probably have less patients lost to follow-up because they can access us. And if you think about it, for pediatric cardiology, what do we need? We need to do physically, we need to have a conversation, a physical exam, an EKG, vitals, and echo. And if we have taken care of the EKG, if the parents can obtain some focused images that are just necessary for that visit, and then we can somehow also get the physical examination better with technology, we will be very close to a full on-site clinic visit. And I really think that's going to happen. I know that there are some companies where you can do camera-based exams. Like you can put a camera in the mouth where you can see the oral mucosa. There are other devices coming along. And one thing I noticed with the teleclinic portion of my study is parents are able to do vitals. I mean, we sent them a scale and a stereometer. They were able to get the height and weight and blood pressure. Once you have all those devices, and they are really not expensive. So every patient of ours can technically have one of those and probably get reimbursed by health insurance companies. So I do think that it probably won't replace a full first-time visit, but for follow-up visits where we know the patient is stable, it probably will be a very useful tool for frequent, careful, comprehensive assessment of these patients.
Yeah, I think I would sort of echo a lot of what Sada said. No pun intended there, Sada, echo. But
Sada means echo too.
Yeah, I would agree with much of what Sada had to say and add a couple other points. I think, you know, we've all transitioned a lot of our lives to Zoom over the past year or so. And I think a lot of it's been very positive. I think follow-ups and a lot of individual families will want to make visits via telehealth. I do think it will not completely take away that in-person experience that you get by sitting there speaking with your doctor, that touch, that feeling you get by being in the clinician's office. And I think a balance of the two is going to be really important going forward. I do still think that personal touch and that personal interaction that you get with a patient in the office is special, and I think that's not going to go away completely. I think Sada's done amazing things with TeleEcho, which is amazing. We can do mail-out EKGs, mail-out monitors. I think wearables will be a big part of the future going forward, and I think there's we're on the precipice of what's going to happen, I think, with digital technology and how it's going to impact our cardiology patients and our pediatric patients going forward.
Well, doctors, tune in. Sersnak, thank you so much for this conversation. This was wonderful.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you so much to Drs. Tierney and Sersnak for their time and insight. And thank you for joining us for another episode of Doc Talk. Be sure to subscribe to Doc Talk on your favorite podcast platforms, and be sure to check us out at hcplive.com for all the latest cardiological news and insights. Until next time, I'm Jonathan Alisea. Thank you for listening.